My name is Omer Klein, and you're listening to Radio Störfunk.
What means radio for you? How you grew up with it?
I grew up listening to the radio. Of course, I grew up already in the era of TV and also computers, computer games. But radio was still dominant in the early 90s when I was growing up in Israel. And I was listening to the radio at night in my bed. I had a radio near my bed. And it was a very... I think until today that it's a very beautiful medium that helps develop the imagination because you cannot see everything only through sound, and there is something very intimate about it. And yes, it was important for me. Yeah.
And your current album is called Radio Mediterranean. So how does the title came from, or what is your link to it?
So of course Mediterranean refers to the Mediterranean Sea, and the album is a love song for the Mediterranean Sea. I listened and learned a lot of music from around that sea, read books about it, and kind of did my research, and before composing pieces that will reflect my memories from the sea growing up, and also my reactions now to the beautiful sounds that are happening around it. And then I called it Radio Mediterranean because a double meaning of radio, because in a way I'm like a radio, you know, a radio transmits and receives. So while listening to so much music, I was like a radio receiving in a way. And now I offer Radio Mediterranean transmitting. I wanted the album to be kind of like a radio station where you go and hear this new modern Mediterranean music. Yeah.
Is your music a mix of all radio stations around the Mediterranean Sea, you can say? You picked up different musical styles from everywhere?
Yeah, I can just say that I listened to a lot of different musical styles from around the sea, and then I absorbed it, and I let it kind of sink in my consciousness, and then I composed my own pieces, where it's not exactly one Bulgarian piece and one Moroccan piece, but it's more like in every piece the different influences are combining.
I read on your website that in the process of this album there were no rules except of the joy of playing. Can you describe a little bit the process of making this album?
Yes, so as I said, after a lot of listening, I began composing, and this was a long time of every day composing for many hours, and I worked on a lot of compositions, more than the 9 that ended up being in the album, so we could choose from. Then I would send them to Amir and Chagai, and they would have feedback, and I kept developing them. And then we got together about 1 month before the recording. We got together for a week of rehearsing and developing the material together. So a lot of the solutions and creative ideas came from working with these two guys. And then I had another month of continuing to compose based on the ideas that we developed together. And then we did the album recording. It was the three of us and also a great engineer that is our co-producer, Guy Sternberg. And the four of us really in the last minutes gave the last ideas that made the album what it is.
There is one song called Arak, so why a distilled spirit deserves to have a song?
Yeah, because it's an important drink in the Mediterranean, specifically the combination of alcohol and anise. So Arak, Raki, Ouzo, Pernod, Pastis, everywhere around the Mediterranean people are enjoying this drink. And I enjoy it as well, and I wrote this song with this drink in mind.
And another song is called Last Day of School. So yeah. What is your memories about this song, The Last Day in School Before Summer?
Yeah, I wrote it when I saw a picture, a photo, that a boy that went to school with me to elementary school, he put it now on Facebook. And it's a photo of my whole class. It's this photo that the photographer comes to the school and takes in the last day of school or the last week. And it was from around 1994, when I was 12. And I saw myself at that age and all my friends and the boys and the girls that I used to know, and it moved me and it led me to write this composition. That the composition actually has different chapters, that each of them is kind of dealing with this topic of the last day of school from another angle.
There is one song called Protest. It has some political undertones, but would you define your music as non-political, or does politics plays a role in your music?
I wrote Protest after I was listening to Selda Bakchan, the great Turkish folk singer. and also knowing her life story of speaking for the people and for human rights and being often punished for it. And I was very moved by it, and I wrote this song as a kind of my support of that struggle, generally for human rights. Having said that, in general, my music is not very political because it's instrumental music. So we don't have lyrics that can tell people what we think about this or that. And of course, I can give the songs titles that would be very political. But the majority of my songs don't come from that place in me. And even when they do, I try to remember that it's more of a metaphoric art form to create instrumental music in jazz. So I try to give titles that are more poetic. So for example, in my last album, Sleepwalkers, the title song, Sleepwalkers, it was about the danger that I see in people being buried in their phones and screens and not living life. And I do see a political danger in that and the political powers exploiting that. But I didn't want to call the song, "Be careful, don't look too much at your phone, because otherwise Trump will become the president," which is what happened. But it's not my job, really. So I call it Sleepwalkers because I want to kind of, in a more mysterious and interesting way, say what I feel.
I heard that a lot of young people coming to your concerts. Are you representing a new kind of generation of jazz music? You attract new audiences? I don't know how it will work here in Schwäbisch Hall, but I never see young people on this jazz concert. So
it does depend on the city and the country. But I guess in some cities in the world, all the jazz fans in that city are above 45. So then it's fine. And I'm, of course, happy with any person coming to my show. However, in some cities in the world, for example, Berlin, where we played last week, I think that a good percentage of the people who are interested in jazz are actually under 40, under 30, and sometimes under 20. And they come to concerts and buy records and listen to us on Spotify. And it's not only in Berlin, it's more and more. And I do think there is a kind of renaissance today with a lot of jazz artists of my generation are creating music that is blending influences from different sources that might feel more relevant and fun to younger people. And a lot of younger people today think that jazz is cool, that perhaps maybe some years ago people thought that it wasn't. I think that jazz is cool in general. So Louis Armstrong for me is a very cool musician. Thelonious Monk for me is the definition of being cool. I don't think that only new stuff is cool. But I understand that there are sounds that appeal more to the young public, and I definitely pride myself on being an artist that get also the attention of the new generation of listeners, because after all, this is the future.